church and love what God is doing here. And I don't mind your scenery around here. It's not bad. I'm a country boy. I was raised most in Detroit, born in South Carolina, went back there and graduated from high school and college. But my dad ran the Detroit Rescue Mission. But I soon discovered I'm a country boy at heart. We got a house on 3/4 acre. Then we got one on 7 acres. Then we got one on 10 acres. If I could, I'd build one smack dab in the middle of 100 acres. I do love this part of the world. I was going to preach from Hebrews chapter 2, and I felt impressed of the Lord to go a different direction. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, if you would, please. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled. I guess so. He thought he was the king of the Jews. Look, if I showed up here and said to Brother Garcia, "Where's the new pastor at the Cornerstone Baptist Church?" And he said, "I'm the pastor." I said, no, I mean the new one. And Herod was troubled. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. When you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east came and went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You say, "Brother Willett, it's not Christmas." Well, go to Walmart. It will be soon. Lord, I pray you'd guide me as I preach. The very best I know, I'm where you wanted me to be. Use this to your intended purpose. I don't know who needs what, but you do. So empower me and direct me and draw us to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, three questions. I gave you a little quiz the other day. You did well. Three questions, true or false. You have to answer everyone, true or false. Question number one, true or false. Three wise men came to visit the Lord Jesus. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say false, raise your hand. I'll give you a third alternative. If you say raise your hand. Number two, the wise men came to visit the baby Jesus in the manger. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say I would rather not raise my hand, raise your hand. Question number three. The wise men were guided by a star from their home to the place where Jesus was. If you say true, raise your hand. If you say false, raise your hand. If you say I'm starting to get nervous, raise your hand. Well, let's look to the Bible for our answers. That's a pretty good thing to do. I do thank you for coming. Great Monday night crowd. Preacher took me to Rancho Viejo today for lunch. Man, I may be a gringo, but I like Mexican food. And I was the only one man enough to put jalapenos on my dinner. And I know I shouldn't talk about food because you're the only thing between me, you, and Dickie's barbecue is me. Man, that makes me in a bad spot. I feel like the guy who was so unlucky that when he finally got his kidney transplant, it came from a bedwetter. That's real. I know I shouldn't say that, I'm sorry. But you listen so much better to the things I shouldn't say. Well, question number one. Three wise men came to visit the baby Jesus. The answer is, doesn't say. Just says there came wise men. Now, we've assumed they were three because they brought three kinds of gifts. The likelihood is there was a pretty good size entourage. Their journey took them probably between 1 and 2 years. They traveled roads that were infested with bandits. They wouldn't travel without a pretty good crowd to defend themselves. But Bible doesn't say. Question number two, and most of you knew this. Wise men came to visit the baby Jesus in the manger. The answer is false. It says they came to the house where the young child was. Say, oh, no, well, that. I've got a nativity set in my attic. I bought it at Walmart. It's covered with lead paint and the Wuhan virus. And it has the baby Jesus and the wise men and the camels and the shepherds all together. I know. But the Bible says they came to us. Now, question number three. Oh, you know the answer to this. It's in your hymn book. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, following yonder star. See, I still got it. I'm going to make another CD. Well, it is nice if our songs are theologically correct. It's nice, but a lot of them aren't. I don't mean to pick at anybody, but you just sang, safe am I within the castle of God's word retreating. Where does the Bible tell you to retreat? The Bible puts the church on the offensive, not on the defensive. We sing, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. Brother Jordan, you're theologically astute. When does the trumpet of the Lord sound? At the rapture, right? Yes. Yeah. And when will time be no more? Well, at the end of the millennium, the angel stands and says, there's no more time. That's at least 1,007 years apart. And the song just stuck them together. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. So, we better look at the Bible. The Bible says, verse 1 of chapter 2, there came wise men from the east. All right, where were the wise men from? It's not a trick question. Remember, I'm not smart enough for trick questions. Where were the wise men from? The east. Sorry. They weren't from the west. They were from the east. Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we, what are the next two words? What are they? For we what? Have seen. Is that present tense? What tense is that? Yeah, it's actually present perfect, which is an action completed in the past. We have seen his star. What are the next three words in that verse? In the east, it'll help if you look at your Bible. I know you're probably not used to that. But. So we have seen his star where? Where were they from? Where does the Bible say they saw the star? In the east? Well, that's interesting. And let's go down to verse 9. They head out towards Bethlehem. And the star, the Bible tells us, which they, what's the next word in verse 9? Saw. What tense is that? Past tense. Well, they saw where? In the east. Where were they from? Where does the Bible say they saw the star? In the east. Came and stood over them. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they said, there it is, we've been following it every day. No. What'd they do? Wow. Kind of like it was a big deal. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, if I'm reading the Bible right, they saw the star in the east. But somewhere early in the journey, early enough that they would still be considered to be in the east, the star stopped shining. They only saw it, the Bible says, in the east. If I have not persuaded you yet, let me give you one more proof from our text. Where was the Lord Jesus born? Bethlehem. Where did the wise men go? When they first traveled, there came wise men, verse 1, from the east to where?
Jerusalem.
About 8 miles from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Would you, the next time you buy a new vehicle, pay an extra $1,500 to get a fancy navigational system that's guaranteed to get you to within 8 miles of your desired destination? If a star was guiding them, it did a lousy job. So, here's what the Bible says. They saw the star at the beginning. There was a widespread understanding that there was going to come a great and important birth in Israel. Now, these wise men were the Medes of the Medo-Persian Empire. They were not really kings, they were king makers. They were the powers behind the throne. And I can't prove what I'm about to suggest, but I think the reason they knew about this event was there was another wise man in the Medo-Persian Empire named Daniel. And he knew about the 70 weeks of years and the Messiah that should come and the stone cut out without hands. And I think Daniel said to his fellows, hey guys, I don't know when this is coming, but when it does, you better drop what you're doing and get out there. It'll be the biggest event in the history of the world. It was God becoming man. Well, they see the star. They start out on a long and arduous journey. And somewhere early in the journey, early enough, they would still be considered to be in the east, the star stopped shining. I want to talk to you tonight about traveling without the star. Okay, what you do when the star stops shining is really important. They could have said, well, we're not going till the star comes again. We're going to just park here. They could have said, well, false alarm. Star didn't shine very long. We'll go back home. You know what they did? They did the best they knew. If I said to you, find Donald Trump, the most likely place you'd find him is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, he might not be there. He might be flying a B-2 bomber, dropping bombs on Iran. He might be in Mar-a-Lago, he might be on a world trip, but the most likely place to find the President of the United States is in the capital of the United States. They were looking for the king of the Jews, so they went to Jerusalem, capital of Israel. And what you do, the star stops shining, is really important. See, You think your preacher has a hotline to heaven. He does. But it's the same one you have. And the honest truth, now he's probably smarter than me, but when I pastored First Baptist in Bridgeport for 44 years, there's a lot of times if you had said to me, preacher, what are we going to do about this? If I told you exactly what I was thinking, I would have said, I don't know. So, they've got to Jerusalem. They asked for help. They said, go to Bethlehem. And at the very end of the journey, the star showed up again. And it took him right exactly to the place where the Lord Jesus was. Now, this is not an isolated incident. God does that with his people all the time. And Abraham wants you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'll make you a great nation, make your name great. So he packed up his bags and belongings. He went around the Fertile Crescent. He got to the land of promise. He had one problem when he got there. He had no son. It's hard to become the father of a great nation if you do not have any children. Did you know that infertility is hereditary? Think about it. If your parents did not have any children, then you probably won't either. Abraham says, well, maybe Eliezer can be my son. Sarah says, well, why don't you have a child by Hagar? We'll raise it as ours. Abraham says, okay. All those troubles in the Middle East, thank Abraham. And Abraham is 100 years old and Sarah is 90, the last time God reiterates his promise. And Sarah's in the tent and she laughs. Don't be too tough on her. 90 years old. I don't think anybody here is 90. I'll guarantee nobody is 90 and expecting. And nobody is 90 and wanting to be expecting. I'm just saying, long time in the life of Abraham, the star wouldn't shine. Hey guys, I had the coolest dreams. Your sheaves all bowed down to my sheaf. Isn't that exciting? Joseph made a fatal mistake a lot of young Baptist preachers make. He told his brothers his dreams. They didn't share his enthusiasm. Now he winds up being sold as a slave. Ends up in the house of a man named Potiphar, works hard, becomes in charge of everything in the house. But somebody else noticed Joseph, Potiphar's wife. The Bible says Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. Now, that is not two ways of saying the same thing. Goodly means he had a handsome countenance. Well-favored means he had a good physique. So Joseph would have been a lot like... Well, you know what I mean. He'd have been a lot like what your preacher and I think we used to be. And Mrs. Potiphar said, hey, big boy, you and me, we ought to get together. And Joseph said, no, ma'am. You don't belong to me, you belong to your husband. It's wrong, I can't do this. And one day she got so frustrated at her inability to seduce a slave, she turned the tables and lied and said that he was coming after her. And Joseph went to jail for doing right. But he rises to the top every place he goes. The prison keeper gives him more and more responsibility. The Bible says whatever is done in the prison, Joseph was the doer of it. One day, he notices two of his fellow prisoners are sad. He said, what's the matter? Well, we've dreamed a dream. Nobody can tell us what it means. Now, I'm afraid if I'd been Joseph, I'd have said, well, I do a little dream interpreting. Maybe I can help you out. Not Joseph. Joseph always gave glory to God. do not interpretations belong to God? Then he said to the butler, 3 days from now, you'll be back serving Pharaoh. And the only time in the entire story Joseph asks for anything for himself, he says, think on me, remember me. And the Bible says, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And there was a long time, I think 13 years, rotting in the jail. The irons, the fetters hurting, the Bible says. A long time in the life of Joseph that the star wasn't shining. Hey, David, Daddy wants you at the house. Okay, what's up? Well, Samuel's our Samuel. At our house? Wow. David walks in. Samuel says, that's him. Pours oil on his head, says, son, you're going to be the next king of Israel. David could not have been more than about 15 years old. In the nation of Israel, you went to war when you were 20. We find out in the next chapter that of his 8 brothers, the 3 older ones are away at war. So if brother number 4 is 19, and brother number 5 is 18, and brother number 6 is 17, and brother number 7 is 16, Joseph's about 15. What do you do if you're 15 years old and you find out you're going to be the next king? Cool. Yo, dude, you better be good to me. Hey, when do I get the crown? You know what happened? David killed Goliath. Children of Israel began to sing his praises. Saul got jealous. David's running away. A motley band of people with him, everybody in debt, everybody in distress, everybody discontented. And David got so low, he said, I shall now perish one day, but I end us all. There's nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Wow. I hope no matter how bad things get, you never join up with the Philistines. Long time. In the life of David, the star wasn't shining. It's that way in our lives. You get convicted about going soul winning. You study, you pray, you learn, you go out. You're scared to death. And your words get all tangled up and your mind gets confused and you say, I can't do this. You start tithing. You cannot wait for the amazing blessings of God. You run every day to the mailbox to get that check from the publisher's clearinghouse company. And all you get is bills. Missionary goes to a foreign field. God has called him. He studies, he prepares, he raises money. And he gets there. And everything's strange. Smells different. Sounds different. Architecture's different. Food is different. Clothing is different. And he works and works and labors, and nothing happens. And he thinks, I'm not sure this is going to succeed. Real easy to see the pattern. Clear direction at first, star shining. And somewhere early in the journey, the star stops shining. That's not negligence on the part of God. It is not indifference. It is because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But there was that day when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, God gave him Isaac. There was that day Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him and his dreams were realized. There was that day. David was anointed first king over the southern kingdom and then over the United Kingdom, the nation of Israel. So, I want to give you 3 applications. Number 1, the star does not always shine. Who is he that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant and walketh in darkness and hath no light? Isaiah 50. Yeah, that happens to God's people. starting to shine. Things are obscured. Things don't make sense. Trials and troubles come that we don't understand. Number two, God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. Hey, you may not have a star, but keep on plodding toward Jerusalem. Do the best you know. Traveler stopped an old man sitting by the side of the road and said, "Sir, this is the way to such and such a town." The old man answered him unusually. "Where are you from?" The traveler told him. He said, "Well, you've come too far to go back. The side road is worse, and this is no place to spend the night. Looks to me like you might as well just go on. I don't know what you're facing, what burdens you, what you're dealing with, but I want to tell you something. You've come too far to go back. The side road is worse. I've seen what happens to people who get off track and get out of the will of God. And this is no place to spend the night. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. That's why I don't feel so much at home in this old world anymore. Start a noise shine. God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. Number three, the wise men, once they started toward Bethlehem, were guided by the star. But here's what the Bible said. Herod demanded of the chief priests and scribes, verse 4, where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Hey, they didn't start out toward Bethlehem because of a star. They started out to Bethlehem because of the word of God. If you miss everything else, don't miss this. Brothers and sisters, we may not always have a star, but we've always got a book. I know I should be in church because the Bible says don't forsake the assembling yourselves together. I know I should tithe because the word of God says the tithe is the Lord's. I know I should live separate from the world because the Bible tells me friendship with the world is enmity with God. I know that a husband should love his wife. A wife should submit to her husband. Children should obey their parents. Parents should raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because it says so in the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But we misunderstand that in our society, you can go to Lowe's and buy a light that'll shine from here to Post Falls. Probably burn out in about 30 minutes, but it'll shine far. There was no such thing in Bible times. The lamp reference in Psalm 119 was an oil lamp worn on the ankle of a traveler. Because if he held it a waist high, it gave forth so little light it wouldn't even shine to the path. He put it on his ankle, and it illuminated the path just enough for him to be able to see where to put his foot for the next step. I don't know where I'm going to be in 6 months or 6 years. Neither do you. But you know, you got a pretty good idea of the next step. Most are supposed to stay around and eat barbecue. Most are supposed to go home. Most are supposed to go to work tomorrow. Most are supposed to read your Bible. We're supposed to read your Bible. Spend some time talking to God. The star doesn't always shine. God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. We don't always have a star. Praise God, we always have a book. Danny Aiello was 11. When the automobile accident that cost him his left arm occurred, after a while he healed physically, but he was devastated emotionally. Depressed, down. And for some reason, his parents hit on the idea of enrolling him in judo classes to try to bring him out of his depression. And Danny liked it. He liked wearing the gi, he liked being the other guys. Now, when you take judo, you normally learn several basic throws. You know, you learn the ogoshi, the okigoshi, the osotogari. If you do well at those, they'll teach you the Yamaha, the Suzuki, and the Kawasaki. But Danny didn't learn any of those throws. Different throw from all the other kids. And teacher had him work on it again and again and again, and he had just one throw. But he liked it. And to his complete surprise, after a while, the teacher said, "Danny, you're ready to enter a judo tournament." Wow. Got the parents' permission, picked him up, went to the tournament. Danny won the first round readily. Second round was tougher, but he won that. Third round was really hard, but he won it. And now he finds himself in the finals. His opponent is older, stronger, heavier, more experienced. Danny's having a rough time. He's been thrown around quite a bit. The referee said to the teacher, the sensei, "Would you like me to call the match?" "No," he said. "Danny'll be fine." And Danny was game every time he got thrown and got back up. And finally he saw his opening. He reached in and he executed the only throw that he knew. He flipped his opponent on his back, pinned him to the mat, and won the match. Crowd went wild. Little one-armed kid winning the judo match. They got the trophy. Riding home was really quiet. Finally, Danny said, "Sensei, why did I win? I only know one throw, and I only have one arm." And the sensei said, "Danny, there are two reasons. Number one, you've mastered or nearly mastered one of the most difficult throws in judo. Number two, the only known defense against that throw is to grab your opponent by his left arm." Danny didn't know that. Just knew the teacher said, "Learn that throw, learn that throw, learn that throw, learn that throw." Hey, church, you stay faithful when the star doesn't shine. You follow the book when you don't have a star. And one of these days you're going to get to heaven and all of it'll make sense. And you say, "I didn't know that." Star to no shine. God expects us to be faithful when the star doesn't shine. We don't always have a star, but we always have a book. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us to be faithful, even when the star doesn't shine. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Just a simple invitation. I wonder who says, "Brother Ouellette, the Spirit of God has spoken to my heart. I need to put in practice what I heard tonight, and I wish you'd pray for me." You who say that, would you slip your hand up high? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you. You've done well at that. This. Would you once again immediately obey the Spirit of God? Raise your hand and... maybe you didn't, but you should have. Would you right now stand up? Come out of your seat, find a place at the altar to do business with God. It'll be all right. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thanks, Lord, for these who are coming. Draw others to yourself. We'll thank you in Jesus' name for what you do. Amen. If you're doing business with God, you can stay seated. If you're not, we'll just stand. If you ought to join these at the altar, you come. There's room for you. Lord, thank you for loving us and meeting with us. I pray that you'd remind us of these truths long after we don't remember where we heard it or who said it. Help us to realize it's normal that the stars don't always shine. And you expect us to be faithful during those dark and cloudy days. And that we don't always have a star, but we always have your word. Please use these truths to strengthen our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for coming tonight. Everybody here has a 100% attendance record for the weeknight services. Don't ruin it. If you miss tomorrow night, you'll hate yourself forever. And the preacher and I'd be mad at you for several days.